Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Paul.
It's great to have you all here. A special welcome to the Cubs, the Beavers, and the Scouts. A very warm welcome to you and to all your family and friends. We are now, before the service starts, we're going to process the flag? Okay, we're going to do that, and it's polite to stand, so would you mind standing? I might give them to you, Alan. Thank you. Don't know where you're going to put them. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. So would you please be seated? During our service, they're going to make their promises, and Stuart's going to say a few words. If you've got mobiles, do you want to check they're on silent for me, please? And Christian Aid Week is the 12th to the 19th of May, and the Scouts are going to help us with that. They're going to help collect. And if any of you are free to help collect as well, please let me know. I need to publish some bands of marriage. So I published the banns of marriage between Anthony Alexander McKnight and Jane Elizabeth Bonus. I also published the banns of marriage between Andrew John Higgins and Jenny Lisa Ward Shaw. This is for the second time of asking. If any of you know any reason in law why these persons may not marry each other, you are to declare it now. Tony would like to give a notice as well. And while Tony's coming up, we've got the spring concert this afternoon at 3 o'clock. We've got about 8 tickets left. So if you'd like to come, just turn up at the door at 3 o'clock.
Right, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Just want to talk about our next weekend on Saturday the 27th. The annual charity plant sale and coffee morning will take place in the Robert Lloyd room next door at from 12 to 10 to 12. It includes a cake stall as well as plants, as well as a tabletop sale with jewellery and children's toys and books. Now, Paul has kindly allowed me to spend a few minutes telling you what will be done with the money that we raise. Now, Jane, my wife, was pondering and praying about this a couple of months ago, but had no brilliant ideas whatsoever until a prayer newsletter came from a friend of ours. I wonder if anyone of you remember Ed Ravenhall, who worshipped here with his family probably 25 years ago when they lived in the village. For decades, Ed has worked in a Christian organisation called Youth with a Mission, or YWAM for short, and is project and fund manager for their work in Africa. This newsletter we received described a project in a remote part of northern Uganda, which fired Jane's imagination and answered her prayers about what to do with the monies raised by our event this coming Saturday. YWAM is halfway through this project. They have a team of young African Christians led by a retired African bishop and his wife. They're living and working in this remote part of Uganda, which has been devastated by climate change, causing severe drought. The team are addressing two specific humanitarian needs. Firstly, to provide food for a small local hospital with 250 beds, which is running out of funds and is struggling to feed the people who come through the doors. The second problem is that the local people are dying of starvation. Drought has led to famine. Traditionally, their way of life has been animal herding, but the drought has rendered this impossible. They need a new way of sustaining themselves. YWAM's solution has been to already buy a 30-acre field near the hospital, also a tractor and to dig a borehole which taps into an underground water-bearing aquifer. This paved the way for them to recently carry out a small-scale trial planting of local crops, maize and red beans. This was extremely successful and they are now anxious to scale it up. This is where we come in. They need funds to purchase a solar-powered water pump to raise water from their borehole and the piping to go all around the field for irrigation. Then they can grow sufficient food to support the hospital and will also demonstrate to the local people a new way of feeding themselves. YWAM are looking even further ahead to build in a classroom one day when the local people can be given formal training in agricultural methods, so it will become a teaching farm. Jay, my wife, loves this product. It's so sensible, so practical, so environmentally friendly and sustainable. It's run by African Christians, a bet with assistance from YWAM in the UK. And above all, it meets two urgent humanitarian needs. I hope you caught my wife's enthusiasm and now wondering what you can do to help. Well, you might be able to provide any spare plants for this Saturday, garden or house plants. You might be able to donate home-baked cakes for the cake store. You could turn up on the day and buy a plant, a toy, or have tea and coffee and a cake. Or if else fails, you could put some money in an envelope and pass it to me or my wife, Jane. Jane would love for us to be able to contribute a decent sum towards this project. Thank you for your help in advance for your support.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'm going to start with some words from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I'll just say a prayer now. Father, we come before you with thankful hearts. We praise you for your mercy and faithfulness. May your Holy Spirit lead us this morning that our joy would abound and your name would be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
We say together our welcoming prayer. Lord Jesus, by your grace we gather here to worship and glorify you. Give us wisdom, courage, and love to welcome the stranger into this place, so that they too can meet with you and know your redeeming love. Amen. If you'd like to stand for our opening song.
Thank you.
Please be seated. So Stuart, I believe you're going to come and tell us a little bit about the Scouts, and then you're going to bring everybody forward to make the promises.
Good morning. So I've been a Scout for 46 years. It seems a long, long time. And I was thinking about Scouting this morning, and I didn't have anything prepared. Driving down the motorway to come here, and I was thinking about the membership badge. It's the one thing that hasn't changed for Scouting. Scouting has changed with community, with life, the pace of life, technology. Scouting, when I started 46 years ago, was a very different thing. But now, the one thing that has sort of stood constant throughout of all of this is a promise. It's a promise that we make when we get invested in Scouting. At Water Altar, we renew our promise. We talk about promise every night. But once a year, Bain and Powell decided, when he wrote a book, Scouting for Boys, and then everybody thought, this is a great idea, let's do this thing. Scouting was formed. And part of that process, when Bain and Powell started, he looked at St. George and how St. George was and some of the things around him, and decided that was the patron saint for Scouting. So once a year, across the world, people talk about renewing their promises. That my son is in a parade in Burton-on-Trent. There's other people parading and going to different cyber services. They're doing different activities instead, maybe an activity day, coming like us to share our promise with you. The thing about the promise is the one thing in Scouting that has very rarely changed. It's had a couple of very minor tweaks over the years, but it stayed constant throughout my Scouting and before that. Because it's not a promise to Scouting. This is a promise to yourself. And as I've got older through my life, I realise that when I repeat these words, that I make a promise to me every time I renew my promise. So today, we're going to renew our promises in front of everybody, because I think it's a great thing to go and do. It shows that Scouting is here in Water Orton. We're very successful. We got a few here. I think many are playing football and rugby this morning. But we got a very successful Scout group. We strive to be in part of the community. We like showing that we're here. We like showing we are uniform off. We like telling people what we do. So I invite the leaders, the Beavers, the Cub and Scouts to come and stand in front of me. Yes, that's you. Oh, no. Now, I often get the promises wrong because I have to keep remembering three. So I'm going to get a bit of paper for the prompt. Right, I need everybody stand in front of me. I need the tall people at the back and the short people at the front, and turn around and show and face everybody. Now, I know you have all got some big voices. Now, I've only got one beaver. So I'm going to ask the cubs, because most of my cubs here have been beavers. So I'm going to ask them to repeat the beaver promise with me as well. Okay. So we have two kinds of salutes. One is a full salute that goes up to your head, and one is a half salute. This one here is when we make our promise. Now, beavers, cubs, can you make your half salute for me, please? And face everybody else. Right. So I'm going to repeat one line, and you'll repeat after me. I promise to do my best. To be kind and helpful. And to love God. As I said, the promise is, I promise. You see? Right, next one. The last one I know off by heart, but this one, another one. Right, cubs this time. This is your promise. So all the cubs, half salute for me, please. I promise that I'll do my best. To do my duty. To God and the King. To help other people. And keep the Cub Scout law. Cub Scout law is good. I like Cub Scout law. A cub is always does the best. Thinks of others before themselves and does a good turn every day. Now, if anybody was ever a scout,
were you asking a question then?
If anybody's ever a scout,
I was a scout,
and you made your promise, you never stop being a scout. So I invite anybody that was ever a scout to stand and join us if you want to. You don't have to. You're more than welcome to come and stand in front of us as well. So, ask everybody make a half salute. On my honour.
On my honour.
I promise.
I promise.
Do my best.
Do my best.
Do my duty.
Do my duty.
To God and the King.
To God and the King.
To help other people.
To help other people.
And keep the Scout Law.
And keep the Scout Law.
Scouting is a very interesting thing. Many of our world leaders, sporting heroes, people who've been out of space, have been scouts. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Scout Law. I like this one too. A scout is to be trusted. A scout is loyal. A scout is friendly and considerate. A scout belongs to a worldwide family of scouts. A scout has courage in all difficulties. A scout makes good use of their time and careful of possessions and property. A scout has self-respect and respect for others. This, as I said, this is a promise that we make to ourselves, not to scouting. I'd like to thank the Beavers Cubs and Scouts and you all for renewing your promises with me. Thank you very much.
Can I, on behalf of the church and myself as vicar, say, Stuart, we're delighted you wanted to come here to make your promises today. And what good promises, to love God, to obey God. So thank you very much for joining us today. Jude.
Let's pray for our children and young people as they leave. Father, we thank you for the blessing of children. We ask you to be with them and their leaders this morning. May they have open hearts and minds as they look to learn more of you. Bless them, nurture them, and help them to have a deeper understanding of your love for them. Amen. Have a good time. Come to a time of confession now, so I'm just going to give you a few moments to reflect. Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, please forgive us where we have not listened to your voice and have thought, said, and done things that have been wrong. Lord, have mercy. Please forgive us where we have followed the crowd rather than following you. Christ, have mercy. Please forgive us where we have been stubborn, wanting to go our own way instead of going your way. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus, that as our good shepherd, you laid down your life so that we might be forgiven. We receive your forgiveness today. Bring us back onto your safe path and help us to listen to you and follow you. Amen. I'm going to sing a group of three songs now. Feel free to sit, stand, dance.
Oh, Our reading is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, and we're beginning at verse 11. John writes, "I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. When the hired man, who is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he is only a hired man and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep and they know me, and I am willing to die for them. There are other sheep which belong to me that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life away from me. I give it up of my own free will. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it back. This is what my Father has commanded me to do. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just a short prayer, and then we'll reflect on the gospel reading we've just heard. Father God, we pray you bless our time now. We pray you inspire it with your presence and your Holy Spirit. Amen. So in this passage of scripture, Jesus paints us a picture of him as the good shepherd. Now, that would have been a very, very familiar thing for people 2,000 years ago living in Palestine. There would have been plenty of sheep and plenty of shepherds. And it's not unfamiliar for anybody in this room this morning, is it? We can all picture a shepherd and sheep. So he paints us a picture. And the first thing I want to draw your attention to is he says, three times I lay my life down for the sheep. He is saying that I am willing to die for my sheep. And of course, that is precisely what happened, isn't it? Something we remember on Good Friday when Jesus died on that cross for your sins and my sins. His motivation? Love. Elsewhere, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. If I could teach one truth, this is what it would be. The one truth I would love to teach is that you are loved by God so comprehensively, so unconditionally, so immeasurably. Each person in this room is deeply, deeply loved by God. Most people live outside of that truth. Many a Christian, I believe, lives outside that truth, and no one, bar none, has fully grasped how much God loves them. It's an opinion. Please let me know if you disagree afterwards. I would have said that God loved me as a teenager. I had that head knowledge, but it was only when I got to the age of 22 when I started to make time for God, that head knowledge went from the head to the heart. And then it started to affect how I saw myself, affected my identity. At that point, I loathed myself to some degree. I didn't like myself. And at that point, as I started to comprehend the love for me and God for me in a much more real, tangible way, it affected how I saw myself, and it affected my beliefs, my values, and how I interacted with the world. That's why I think it's such an important truth to bring home to the Christian, to all people. 20 years ago, I remember in my prayer time, Jesus kept saying to me, I love you, Paul, I love you. And might surprise you, but I got a bit tired of hearing this. So I said, God, tell me something I don't know. And then there was a knock on the door, and this guy, Mark, said, I believe God's sent me to see you. So I said, great, come in. He said, no, I can't come in. I've got to go to the toilet. So off he pops to the toilet. And then he comes back a moment or two later, and he said, while I was in the loo, I had a message from God. And the message was, I love you, Paul. God is a loving father who does not tire of telling his children he loves them. And actually, I was foolish to say, tell me something different, because I need to hear that God loves me and still do. I'm still learning. I am still learning that God loves me. So, I think I've made my point before I move on. You are deeply loved by God. And so, it's perhaps not surprising that Jesus wants to be in relationship with us, is it? If he loves us, he can't love in a vacuum. You need two parties for love to work. He says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And the Greek word implies a relationship of trust and intimacy. My sheep listen to my voice. Now, I have been working at listening to God for 30 years now. And I can tell you some wonderful stories about how he's spoken to me. I can even tell you another occasion where he spoke to me and I had to look it up in the dictionary because I'd never heard the word before. But that's not the norm. The norm for me, and I believe for all Christians, is that God speaks to us through the continual reading of our Bibles, the Word of God. So I encourage all of you, make time for Jesus daily through reading your Bibles and praying. I've spoken to a number of people, and some of you will nod your head at this. How often do you find that when you read your Bible, God speaks exactly what you need to hear? It's so often, and it's not a coincidence. He meets you where you need to meet him. If you reach out to God, I am convinced that you will meet with him. So I've talked about how Jesus loves his sheep, wants to be in relationship with his sheep, died for his sheep. But who? Who are the sheep of Jesus Christ? Because it's not all of us, is it? It is those of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It is those of us who are listening to the gospel and believing in it. It is those of us who are repenting of our sins that separate us from God. And maybe there's someone here today who hasn't put their faith in Jesus. Know this, that if you turn to Jesus, you will be allowed into the fold. You will have access to God. He will forgive you whatever you have done. He loves you whatever you think about yourself, and you are significant and acceptable to God Almighty. Moving on, I just want to draw your attention to verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. Could this be people of other faiths, do you think? Could this be people who are doing good deeds but not Christian? Well, we've got a clue in the passage, haven't we? Because he says, they too listen to my voice. So the people that he's talking about are people who are known by Jesus and getting to know him. Why would they listen to his voice otherwise? So it's not people from other faiths because they don't know Jesus. They don't recognize him for who he is. It's not people who do good things. It is a reference to Gentiles. So for those of you who don't know what that word means, from a Jewish perspective, you've got Jews and the rest of us. So if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. And I thought I'd speak to the war between Hamas and Israel, which you've all know about. And I'm not going to say I approve of everything Israel does today, but I am going to say this, that the rise of anti-Semitism that we're seeing in the world today and in our own country, which means the hatred of people because they are descended from Abraham, because they're Jewish, is deeply concerning. And there is no place for anti-Semitism amongst Christians. Let us not forget that the Good Shepherd was a Jewish man, is a Jewish man, and forever is a Jewish man, the chief shepherd. And one last thought before I finish. As Christians, we're called to become like Jesus, to imitate him. Whilst we're not the good shepherd, doesn't our society desperately need good shepherds? Men and women of courage, of grace, of wisdom, there for guidance and care and compassion. And our children and young people desperately need that, don't they, today? More than ever so. And I'm grateful for what you do as leaders of Scouts, because it's a valuable work you do voluntarily. We need people. We need more people like you. So, brothers and sisters, whether Jew or Gentile, we are blessed that Jesus chose to lay down his life for the likes of you and me. He would have died just for you. He died so that we could be in relationship with Jesus Christ, God, forever. So please, please make good time for the Good Shepherd tomorrow, this week, through coming to church, through reading your Bibles, through prayer. He wants to meet with you. Amen. I believe we're going to sing again, and then we'll have our prayers, and then we'll have our final song.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for your many gifts to us. And we pray that this money would be used wisely in your service. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bring our prayers to the Lord. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your promise to be our good shepherd. And we shall lack nothing if we truly belong to your flock. Give us a spirit of contentment, knowing that you, our shepherd, provide all that we need. Thank you that you search for us when we go astray. You lead, you feed, you comfort, you restore, and you protect. Above all, we thank you that you meet our spiritual needs, our need for our Father's love and forgiveness into eternity. For you also the Lamb that was slain, thank you, Lord, for so generously meeting our needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we bring to you our nation, the United Kingdom. Much too frequently in our news broadcasts, we hear of violence, cruelty, abuse, sleaze, and bad behavior of every sort, even among our leaders. Our nation becomes more and more secular, and we are sad that the church seems powerless to come against it in your name. Soon we will have local elections, and later in the year, a general election. Please raise up leaders who are not just upright and wise, but who know you and live in the power of your Holy Spirit. Leaders who hunger and thirst to read your word and meet you at the cross. We pray for our village. We thank you for the uniform organizations in our village and the youth clubs. May you bless the young people and the leaders. May they grow in confidence and in upright citizenship. Help each one of us in our own small way to bring the light of Jesus into the dark places, through our lives, our attitudes, our words and deeds. And we pray especially for the people who live in Church Avenue to come to know you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, ruler of the nations, we pray for all across the world whose daily experience in warfare, fighting, terror, and uncertainty. We pray especially that Russia may pull back from its invasion of Ukraine, that there may be a peace agreement in the Israel-Gaza conflict. May the two sides in the South Sudan civil war seek a peace deal. May you, Lord, quiet the clamor of war and the clamor for war. May you guide the nations towards peace. Where there is hatred and division, may you sow seeds of calm and cooperation. Where there has been destruction, may people be able to rebuild their homes and livelihoods. We pray for the humanitarian aid workers. Please protect them and help them, that they will get aid and food to those in need. Where people are crying because of war and fighting, may you bring an end to their tears. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A good shepherd knows his flock and watches over them, carefully for signs of injury or sickness. Lord Jesus, shepherd of us all, apply the oil of healing, your Holy Spirit, to any known to us or own sick in body, mind, or spirit. In the quietness, let us bring to mind those who are in need of God's touch. And from our prayer board, we pray for Trixie and Malcolm, for Steve, Sheila and Ben Record, Carol Jeans, Carol and Tony Truman, Sally, Jeff Shrimpton, Jan Wilson and Helen. May your loving arms carry them, and may they know your healing and peace in their lives. And we also pray for friends and family of those who have passed away, for Peggy Farley and Glenda Hatfield. Lord, may you give peace to those who mourn. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to stand for our final song.
I cast my mind to Calvary.
May Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep, draw us and all who hear his voice to be one flock within the fold. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen.
Please join us for refreshments next door.
We're going to return the flags first.